is a download here on WGN. I'm Justin Kaufman. Coming up later in the show, legendary folk artist Arlo Guthrie. Not every day that you get to say Arlo Guthrie's on the show with you. That's pretty cool. Also, Michael Phillips is going to be here. We're going to talk about the Writers Guild 101 Funniest Screenplays list, which is he had a problem with. He did not like some of the choices. His biggest issue was none of the old films made it. Like, it was all new stuff. And so we'll talk about that. And then we'll also talk about the Bears. My observations, Pete and I will talk about that. We want to hear from you. 312-981-7200. My big observation from the Bears game yesterday was the Aaron Rodgers commercials for State Farm. Take a real close look at his wardrobe. Like, he's got the weirdest, like, express rayon shirts on. Like, for a guy who probably makes $8 million a year, like, this is what they dressed him in to show he was normal, was like the express two-for-ones that you get, you know, like the solid blue, untucked, rayon dress shirt. That was my observation from the whole game, was that commercial. So, talk about that coming up as well. Well, tonight, my guest at the big table, one of my favorite filmmakers and writers working in Hollywood today, especially out of Chicago, Stephen Conrad, broke on the scene with his indie film The Weatherman, starring Nicolas Cage. Since then, he's done The Promotion with John C. Reilly. He's written several other movies, including The Pursuit of Happiness, starring Will Smith, and The Secret Life of Walter Mitty, starring Ben Stiller. But Conrad isn't just a filmmaker anymore. He's turned his attention to the small screen, where he just finished a pilot for Amazon called Patriot, which is billed by Deadline as a comedic thriller slash family dramedy. It's be a new category. Stephen Conrad, welcome to the download.
Hi, glad to be here.
Good to see you. Let's talk Patriot. Let's start there. It's amazing to me that, you know, this is a project that you and I talked. I remember we talked about this in a bar
years ago. Yeah.
Like, you said, you had this idea for, and I was like, oh, that sounds so cool. Hey, man, Stephen Conrad, talk to me. That's so cool. But tell us a little bit about Patriot, and it took 8 years to get to this time.
Yeah, more or less. And it is all those things, and I should just start by letting you know what outlet it is on and where you might see it, because it's available now. It's screening on Amazon, and it's part of the Prime program, but it's not just for Prime members right now. Anybody can see it on Amazon. You just go there and type Patriot in the search, and it'll come up. And then it is all those things aimed at that this time. This is the first project in a very long time that I essentially controlled from the beginning until now.
I wrote
it and produced it and directed it. And my favorite movies have that, big, big personalities. And they put fun first. And it was our goal with this show. And the challenge for me way back when was to try to create a world that could contain all those things. It's essentially a suspense show. And we take the suspense really, really seriously. And all the other elements are designed in order to create greater suspense.
For you, you've had a life in film. You know, you just talked about the idea that this was one of the only projects where you've done everything. I mean, you've done that before. You did it kind of with The Promotion, right? But the idea of, why don't we start with just film versus, you know, a television program. For you, what are some of the challenges being a filmmaker and a writer to make the transition to serialized television?
Well, we just did the first one, so I think the real great challenges are ahead of us. But what I can gather from my friends is there are a few. The principal one is speed. You've got to hustle. And then you have to collaborate on writing, and that would be new to me. And
really?
I did this pilot myself. And I think when you're doing 10 more, the room gets bigger. And you've got to hope that you make quick associations that add up to quality work. So we'll see. I hope we have the chance. We find out in a couple of weeks whether we have a show or not.
And we'll talk about that coming up here, because I got you for the whole hour. Because the model in which Amazon works is very competitive.
It's a new model.
The idea that they essentially say whatever pilot people can choose. And we'll talk about that.
They read that stuff too.
Let me ask you about Patriot. When you've had so many different projects over the years, I just mentioned just a few in the lead. You know, This one took 8 years. Do they all take this long to do? I mean,
there's no telling. You never know. And the better you think it is, sometimes the longer it takes to happen. I haven't been able to identify any rhyme or reason. I just get ready for a long wait every time, and they can come out years later and be better for it. They can come out years later and feel a little old and tired. Weatherman was fast. Pursuit was fast. Midi just took a long time to write and then execute because it was a very long shoot. And Patriot, the longest yet.
It is. It's been the longest.
Yeah, but that's, you know, it's still, it, you can hold out hope that.
But how much of that is just based on other factors, industry factors, holding up the project?
Yeah. Well, I've been busy too. I'll get taken away and be gone for a year.
Yeah.
It's not. You would love, you like that momentum and fuel. That always helps, but you never get it.
You know, and I do want to talk to you about this as well, but I mean, you're a Chicagoan. You set up shop here. You live your life here. And it takes you different places, obviously, because you are involved with so many different projects. Is it easy for you to be able to be a player in Hollywood living here in Chicago?
Well, it's easy for me to be here and not have to worry about work. It's something I can tuck away. And then when I'm here, the friends I have who make films here are friends who just love films and they don't love the scene. So it's a very simple proposition for me to be home and to enjoy my life. When I travel, I go and I work, I get it done, I come home, and I don't have it hanging over me. So it works well for me. I mean, my kids have had to get used to a life where I come and go an awful lot. But it's always been like that for them. And I think they know the alternative is for dad not to have a job, which is its own kind of drag.
I mean, even your earlier work, the Weatherman and promotion were shot with a lot in Chicago.
Yes,
I mean,
I'm trying to bring Patriot here. If we work on it, I can just stay home.
Now, I was going to say, I mean, it sounds like you've developed a life where you are at home and you're not working and you're working when you're somewhere else. Do you envision a life in which you can go back to the idea after doing all these projects where you can do both?
It'd be ideal. Well, I love it here. It's why I live here. And we have a deep acting pool and just the resources here in terms of what you can put on film and the people you have to work with are endless. It's a magnificent place to shoot. You could make very good things here and not have to go anywhere else.
We're talking with Stephen Conrad, filmmaker, writer, director. Now, I guess you're a comedic thriller family dramedy maker, Patriot, which you can find on Amazon. Let's take a break. When we come back, let's talk more about your movies. Weatherman, I love the promotion. John C. Reilly's so good in that movie.
Yeah,
he's
good.
So good.
Well, yeah, we made that here. We made that on the South Side.
So we'll talk good, more with good, Stephen good. About his films when we come back here on The Download. Stay with us. It's The Download here on WGN. My guest, Stephen Conrad, filmmaker, writer. Now, I guess, is Patriot a sitcom?
Patriot's a drama.
It's a dramedy, right?
That's
right.
Suspense drama.
Suspense, like comedic thriller / family dramedy.
Yeah, and a little bit of a musical.
Sure. Just straight up, that's a new category.
No, but I mean, I think it is all those things. But if it were all those things equally, I don't think it would be good. It's primarily suspense, and it's my favorite genre. I never made a film that trafficked in it at all. I've been trying to for years, and I would just take suspense ideas, put them in a bin on my computer, wait for them to, you know, cohere, wait for a story to come out. And it, at the end of the day, at 12 years later, it just became an extremely extensive story. But simultaneous to that, TV's gotten very cinematic and very strong.
Yeah.
And it's probably more cinematic than cinema is. So I just had a happy coincidence of having this really long and very interesting to me suspense story that would not work as a film because it would take hours and hours and hours to shoot. And then there's TV, and we have those hours now.
We're talking with Stephen Conrad here. Patriot is the show that's on Amazon. It's a pilot. Check it out now. Do you fashion yourself as a certain screenwriter in one genre or another? I mean, because I think of you with some of your films as comedy, but at the same time, I think about Pursuit of Happiness, and Midi is not necessarily just all comedy. Do you consider yourself a certain genre writer?
No. I think the strongest writers have a pretty wide bandwidth of tone, and I'm aspiring to be able to make really strong movies that orient around our best genres. I mean, we have traditions of genres now that they lend you a lot of tools as a writer, like suspense. I mean, there are this toolkit you have as a filmmaker. You've got a soundscape, you've got a dripping sink, and everybody knows what a violin feels like if you scrape the strings, you know, in that suspense sound we're primed for. And you can use it, you can have fun with it. I think the strong filmmakers like genres for that reason. You can defy a lot of expectations. Comedy's a little lightning in a bottle. It's pretty writerly. It can showcase the writer if it works. But then, you know, you're left to have that comedy interpreted by a really mm-hmm. large group of people. It can go well.
Especially the higher up you get. I mean, yeah. There's so many different...
But I love them. The movies that turned me on first were comedies. Almost exclusively the movies my dad loved. The Monty Python movies. The Jerk. Imprinted on those films is a way to make film exciting before I actually learned what else film could do. So I'm hoping, it's been a little dream of mine to just meet a small group of comic performers who I can trust and who can trust me. And then we can go and make something like Python was able to do just once. I'd be so proud of that.
You sold your first script when you're 20 years old. So this is not a new thing for you. This is not like, yeah, I'm going to try screenwriting. What drew you to writing film?
Well, writing it's agonizing for me. Like the act of it, sitting down alone, waiting for something good to just drop from the sky. It can be miserable. Often you wait and nothing happens. You have very little to show for hard work. You can't count on even the application of very hard work equaling reward. Unlike most jobs, I think, like the amount of sweat you put into it equals nothing. And it often equals nothing for me. It makes me ornery and grouchy. And I like to be around people to alleviate some of that. And I like to have more fun than I'm able to have alone in my room. So filmmaking allows you that. You have these really important partnerships, often with really cool people. And when it's all clicking, it's a really great walk of life. And it allows you to form important and hopefully long-lasting partnerships.
At what point do you become, I mean, because you mentioned all that stuff about how agonizing it is to be a writer. And early on, I mean, I think of the promotion, Weatherman. I think of films where that was your statement. You did the film. You did everything. At what point did you make the transition to say, you know what, I'm just going to write this film. I'm going to become a screenwriter in Hollywood.
Oh, I didn't direct Weatherman. Weatherman was directed by Gore Verbinski. But yeah, and the ones that the early on when I felt like I could write, you can write. If you write, you can have three movies come out in 1 year. If you direct, the best pace you can keep is a film every 2 years. You just limit the amount of material you can create. And I like to work a lot, and I get a lot out of it. But there are diminishing returns to writing and letting other people go out and execute your stuff. You just have, you know, obviously less control over it. And it doesn't mean that someone else is less capable of doing something that I write. Often that's not true at all. But I'm looking forward to the next few years of being able to marshal my own stuff through.
Do you have control issues with your writing? I mean, do you kind of say, you know, I don't want to hand this out?
No, when it works, no, I have none. I like it. But when you see it getting away from you and there's little you can do about it, it's tough, man. And anybody who cares about that work would have a control issue in that instance. And it hasn't happened to me a bunch. I think I'm par for the course with my friends who write, in terms of which ones go well and which ones go poorly.
Let me ask you about the promotion, because that was a movie where you directed. That was a movie. You did everything. Was that a better experience at the end for you? Did you feel like as a director, as a filmmaker, of putting together the full film from what you came from, the kernel that you started, was that a fulfilling experience for you?
Yes, it was. And it was just a good deal more fun than ordinary writer on the set sort of fun, where you get called in and just put out fires, but you can't really make the decisions. I mean, elemental stuff like, I mean, score goes without saying how elemental that affects an audience on just a visceral level. If you can't connect to an audience through that means, you lost them already. It's a hell of a thing not to be able to execute that aspect of filmmaking when you've controlled the direction of so much else. And wardrobe is important. It's crazy important. Like the shirt somebody wears often tells you more about what their character's like than 5 pages of dialogue that I could write. Yeah, I'm closer to that one. I mean, there's moments of weirdness in there that I like an awful lot that I think would have gotten ironed out if someone else had done it.
How does it work for you as one of the more prolific and successful screenwriters in Hollywood? How how does it work? Is it easy for you to partner up with people to say, hey, I'm going to write Secret Life of Walter Mitty and I want to work with this director? Or is it just like every story you hear in Hollywood where you just sold a script and it gets into the ether in some Warner Brothers lot and some director gets it and moves on with it?
Each of those things happens. And then all versions of those two things happen until you're involved sometimes.
Do they want you involved? Barely. I mean, at this point, you're Stephen Conrad. I mean, don't they want you to be more involved?
Yeah, sure. I get space at the table, to say the least. And especially on Walter Mitty with Ben Stiller, and I had worked together before. So I knew him and we'd established enough of a professional rapport where he knew what I had to offer, I think. So we weren't strangers. But things move fast. There's little times just even to get to know someone enough to trust them. And it's an alpha male business. It's an alpha male job, I think, that one. And there's a lot of protecting your space. And, you know, guys don't get to that point where their name is last on the credits by being wallflowers. Like, it's a breed of cat that likes to be alone. It likes to win and likes to be at the dad's seat at the table.
Do you like that? Do you like that style of business?
I don't approach it like that. I don't have that misapprehension, because it's not true, because movies are... they're partnerships. I mean, you better be able to make a partnership with your cinematographer and your cast, your costumer. So I don't know. I don't apply that level of force to the job. Because I write, I don't think I need to. I think I have a responsibility to the thing from the beginning that sort of earns you that benefit of the doubt. That I don't like the posturing. It doesn't seem... it would seem phony to me. It just doesn't come naturally to me either.
Steve, we're talking with filmmaker, writer Stephen Conrad. His new project, Patriot, suspense dramedy, I guess, is on Amazon now. And we're going to talk more about it, because when we come back, the industry, I mean, you're a great case study, because the early scripts that you sold in a more traditional Hollywood. And now you're at a point where you're seeing so many different changes to the industry, Amazon being one of them, where this passion project that took you 8 years is essentially a competition.
Yeah. Well, yes and no. But I think the cool way to approach it is that audiences have a chance now to chime in, and they don't have to passively wait for somebody else to make decisions.
Well, let's take a break for the news. And we come back more with Stephen Conrad, Chicago filmmaker, here in studio on The Download. Stay with us. It's a download here on WGN. I'm Justin Kaufman. In studio with me, filmmaker Stephen Conrad, Chicagoan, great writer. I mean, The Weatherman, Promotion, Secret Life of Walter Mitty, The Pursuit of Happiness. And now he's got a new program, a dramedy, a suspense dramedy. It defies genre. It defies genre on Amazon.
Right. At the top of the show, you read any number of things that...
it could be.
Paper described it as. But yeah. If you're five things, then you're something new, right?
It is interesting to you, because you've made the move, and we talked about this. You talked about the films that you've worked on, everything from Mitty with Ben Stiller to John C. Reilly with The Promotion. Now with Patriots, you take a detour in your career where, in better for worse, but the idea that you're not doing film, you're doing television.
No, and it's because I wanted to try something new. The film business has been growing narrower and narrower. We have whole genres that are going away. You have limits now to what you can and the noise you can make as a filmmaker. But we got really lucky that TV has
exploded,
grown,
yeah.
And just assumed that if you have that appetite now, you go to television. So I wanted to try something new, and TV is the home for it now. Wait a minute, Amazon is a streaming cable channel, not quite TV,
right?
But not quite a film studio, something in between. It was very perfect for what I had in mind for Patriot.
Well, you've been writing over 20 years' time. I mean, you've seen the industry change. I mean, do you like the changes that have happened, where it's less studio driven? Everything goes through the tastemakers.
It's a great time. It's a great time to make distinctive narrative storytelling. It couldn't be better. You've got a lot of resources for it. You're given an awful lot of room. And I like the serial model of storytelling. I love the idea that someone can sit and watch four episodes if you earn it. If you earn that amount of attention from an audience that you'll know you'll have them that long. And it's anybody who likes to tell stories would be mad about that proposition.
Let me ask you this. What don't you like about that? I mean, because you came up in a time when selling a script and you knew the traditional way of getting your work done and making money, making a living in this business.
Five years ago, I would say that your budget had to be small and you just couldn't get the resources. And I thought that that's why TV looks like TV and films look like films. But that's changed too. And we had a lot of tools on Patriot. We had a substantial budget. And there wasn't a thing that I asked for that I didn't get. So those days are over. So I guess I have yet to hear. The process hasn't played out for me, so I don't know what the marketing arm of it is. I know it's a really crowded environment.
And so the selling of the show will be tougher.
Right, yeah. Or even just earning an audience's interest. There's so much good stuff on TV. I like that we're in a day and age where I don't think people watch shows unless a friend tells them they should. And that sounds good to me. Like, I like that challenge.
Well, I mean, that's a lot of the independent films that you've made. I mean, there wasn't necessarily huge posters that were put on Michigan Avenue. They're like, go see the Weatherman. I mean, it really was. There was a lot of word of mouth to the work.
Yeah, maybe work like that, too.
Yeah. Obviously for you and this is the first time I've said it, but you are the prototype of an independent filmmaker, I mean, writer who... You have created art and projects that don't necessarily have the backing of major motion picture industries. Do you like it that way? I mean, you've kind of had it both ways now. I mean, where you've had it where you had the Weatherman, the promotion, which is a little bit more like I'm making my name, to Pursuit of Happiness and MIDI, where those are a little bit higher up the chain. You're dealing with a lot of people with ties on.
Yeah, I just take it. I guess I take it story by story, and those decisions, they're out of your hands at some point. Right, like I can write a script, and I couldn't tell you at some point who was going to be in it, and that changes everything. The profile of the film, I mean, it changes entirely if it's Will Smith. The Patriot, I did control the casting, and we tried to keep a field of very good actors all the way across the board, but we tried to stay short of any 900-pound gorillas who could control the flow of events. Like, I thought this was important for a team to make these decisions without any stronger hand changing plans on us.
Is that, but that is always around the corner when it comes to your industry, right? I mean, for film and television, there could be a time when, let's say, Patriot takes off and you get your first season, and it's next thing we see up at the Emmys is for best streaming Patriot, and you make an eloquent speech to steal stuff from this interview, you know, just do your thing, and then the next day someone goes, this is great, we're doubling it, and Ted Danson's in it.
Yeah, we'll see. Who can say? I like Ted Danson.
That wouldn't be so bad. That wasn't a good choice off the top of my head. Yeah. Whoever else was in Cheers who's not successful, right? Something like that. We're talking with Stephen Conrad here on The Download. Let me ask you, I mean, you've seen so many different parts of the industry. You've seen the idea of making something independent like the promotion, but you've also seen selling Pursuit of Happiness. You've seen sitting at the table in Walter Mitty, and now you see Patriot, where you're back to putting things together. Is there something that as an audience, as we're listening to this here on WGN Radio, that we need to understand about your business? I mean, it seems to me like you've seen it all. You've seen all the, at least behind the scenes, production. Is it an artistic collaboration, or is it something different?
No, it's all those things. It's definitely an art form in parts, and then parts of it aren't. Parts of it are the same as any other walk of life, where you do good work, but you don't entirely control the outcome. And then you've got bosses who have their own opinions, at least, but they've got sometimes their own bizarre plan for where things ought to go that's got nothing to do with your plan. I think many people feel that way about their bosses. Like, there's a goal, a primary goal that can't be accomplished, right? Like, you can't make everybody happy, bosses, critics, audiences, and you're making your friends laugh if you're making a comedy, or you pick making yourself proud if you're doing a genre piece, and you just hope for the best. But I think it's like any other job, and it's a leap of faith whether it's going to work out.
For you, you know, we've talked about audiences, we've talked about bosses to an extent. We haven't really talked about critics. You said in the break that you don't really read your reviews.
No, I don't, but they slip through. My brother will send me one to try to trick me into reading a bad one. Say, like, this guy gets it, man, and then I'll open it up. And just I'll get clobbered. But they don't do it too much anymore. I avoid them because, you read a good one, and then you go looking for good ones, and then you find bad ones, and it bums you out. And it's not a conversation. You can't respond. So it's a little more like a verdict, right? Like you just get found guilty or innocent, and you don't really learn much from a verdict. It's just over in that sense. So I've tried just to pretend like they don't exist. I know that they do, and they have a place in our business. I think it's been good that there are many more of them now, so it's become a more democratic pool. Mm-hmm. There isn't an institution that controls whether you live or die on that first day. You get a little bit of a longer stretch to prove yourself. There are a lot. Most people don't read them. I mean, audience members don't read them. There's a aggregate of them on Fandango and IMDb, and some people look at that. But no one reads. If I were to read 140, what human being would read all of those? Like, no one else would be processing that stuff like I would. It just seems like
I to be honest with you, I'm trying to think if I would have seeked out a review of Secret Life of Walter Mitty. I don't know if I'd be like, oh, that comes, I gotta read that. Yeah, I gotta read about what somebody thinks about
that.
Yeah,
like I was mentioning before, mostly it's somebody in your life who says, I think you'd like it, and then you try it.
Filmmaker Stephen Conrad in studio with me, talking about his new project, Patriot, which is on Amazon. You can check it out now. When we come back, we'll talk about why you choose to live here in Chicago. We kind of teased it out at the beginning. But this is a place that's been not only a place for that you set up your family, but also a place where you've done a lot of work. I mean, you've the weatherman and promotion and hope to have more. So we'll talk about Chicago and its impact on your career when we come back. Stay with us. It's a download here on WGN Radio with you till 11 o'clock. I'm Justin Kaufman. My guest, Stephen Conrad, filmmaker. Are you one of these guys, are you a filmmaker who loves, I mean, just geeked out on film? I mean, is everything about your life film?
Yeah, I am crazy about it. And it's been like that since I was a kid. And it's why I do it. And I'm not alone in our business. It's a really nice thing that I learned. And it doesn't... it doesn't apply only to directors. You'll find on film crews, there are set dressers who just love film, and PAs who love film. It's one of those art forms that can really win you over and make you, sort of dedicate to it. I was crazy about them. So writing for me was only a way to make films. Like, I can't imagine writing a book. It would be like building a plane. I wouldn't know where to start. So writing for me is really only starting to make a movie take shape.
I had read somewhere that how much are you looking at other films to get an understanding? Like, for instance, Patriot, we talked in the break just about suspense. You watch a bunch of suspense movies.
Right, right.
How much of that do you do for writing? I mean, the idea...
Well, I do it all the time. I mean, it's the run-up. It's the big preliminary to finding your place.
It's part of the process.
Yeah. There's so many gifts you get from other movies. Like, you've seen it done, and now it's your turn. What are you going to say, and how are you going to react to 100 years of filmmaking? And yes, for Patriot, we watched every suspense movie that had anything to do with intelligence. And then it's a treat to take a month and just watch movies all day long. Nothing. And I mentioned that I don't read reviews of my own movies, but I do read an awful lot of film criticism. That there's stuff to gain from it if it doesn't hurt your feelings so badly that you can't work for a month. Right. And I do have critics who I learn conceptually about films, and there are fundamentals even that I gain from that. So those two things, I read about film. There are critics that I respect who I go to help me, to turn me on to films that I wouldn't see otherwise. Other than that, it's watching movies. And I do this weird thing. I'll watch movies with the sound off at night, just on cable, and usually not even good cable. I'll just let something play and turn the sound off, and then I'll start to wonder how those events connected. And my idea for that is different than theirs. Like, there'll be a guy will be in the back of a paramedic's van, and then they'll let him out, and a dog will run up, and then the two of them will go and go on a merry-go-round. And something just happened in the show, but my version of how those three things could possibly happen isn't there. So then I get it, and then I can write it. So I kind of steal a little bit, but then it's slightly inspired.
I mean, there's a little bit of Matrix quality to it. You're seeing through it. I mean, as somebody who lives your life in film, I mean, you're watching films differently than I am.
Yeah. But when I do that weird experiment, when I turn the sound down, I'm just letting images talk to me and tell me stories. Like, I'm not one of those writers who sits down at a desk and waits a whole lot. If it's not happening for me, I'll go out and try to get activated and walk around the city and see what this city is. A magnificent city for just seeing weird stuff. Like, there is an unexpected something around every corner in this city. If you're keen, then you can see it. It's one of the reasons I live here. The density of weirdness and texture. I mean, it's Chicago is a great city, and that's one of the qualities of a great city that I think that impossibility to predict what you may or may not see when you look over at the car next to you when you're in a traffic jam, or, you know, when you're riding a bike and you round a corner. Chicago just keeps beginning like that. And, you know, 25 years later, it surprises me every day.
And that has to play a huge role in how you write, as you just mentioned. I mean, the idea of this city and those things you just mentioned, that's the kind of stuff where you turn the corner and you see something surprising and it sticks in your mind, and it's something that might show up in the next Patriot.
For sure. For sure. Or it's just something that, you know, it teaches me something as a dad, or, you know, a neighbor. Like, it's, if you keep your eyes open here, there's lots to learn about life on Earth.
For you, I mean, it's very difficult, I would assume, to be at the level you're at. And maybe it's not, I don't want to put words in your mouth, but the level you're at, to not be in LA, to not be in New York, if you want to live in a big city kind of environment, because Hollywood loves to have their players close, because managers and agents, they are like, I've got an idea and I want to deal with it right now. And you're in the Midwest. Why stay here in Chicago?
Yeah, it's just never really dawned on me to move. I think it's like a part-time job living in Los Angeles. Takes forever to get from A to B, and the business is too much of a scene for me. And I don't like looking out the window and seeing someone looking out the window trying to think of stories. Like, it's a drag for me, and it makes me feel really small and insignificant and just like everybody else. And here, too, you have privacy. Every citizen of Chicago has this privacy that you get in a very big city that's a bigger city than a one industry town. Like, nobody knows what you're up to or who you are, or what you're doing, or what you're looking for. So, I like that as a person who is always looking around for a story to tell, that there's more to pick up on here. I have to travel a lot. It's a fact of the matter. But that's fun, and it works for me largely. There's years where it's too much and you can feel it taking a toll. But then I aspire, like anybody else, to reach a point where things can slow down and work stops making that demand on your life. And there's more time to just sit in your favorite place and live.
For you, this is the pilot for Patriot. The hope is that Amazon likes it. The hope is that people go look at it, because Amazon does the style in which, you know, the more clicks on this means the more people want this. It's almost like a competition, as we talked about earlier. Mm-hmm. What's next? If this project takes off, is this full on Patriot?
Yes. We find out soon. A couple of weeks. Just a couple of weeks of this voting left. And then we know. And then we have to make 9 more shows fast. I've got to be on a year from now. So yeah, it'd be fun. And if we can stay home, it'd be a dream come true.
Well, we're looking forward to it. Everybody out there in WGN Radio Land, you have to go. What is it, just by clicking it? Just by playing it? Watch it? Is there like a forum?
I haven't done it yet. I should go do it tonight.
Yeah, terrible. Self-promoter, yeah. Yeah. You need to be on that like every day. Like,
yes.
Oh, what's this show? I guess I'll click this. I didn't click it again. Yeah, refresh.
Could be wrong. Probably I am. You go on Amazon.com and just search Patriot.
Okay.
Or Patriot Show, and then it'll come up, and you can just stream
it.
If you care to and like it, you'll be able to say, and if you don't, you'll be able to say too.
Well, it's our hometown entry into this Amazon. Maybe there's others, but they're not here.
There's a scant relationship to Chicago for now, but it won't if we make this show.
There we go. Stephen Conrad, filmmaker. Now, I guess we say TV writer, TV producer. What do you? Sure. Streaming producer.
Streaming content producer. It's so weird.
Yeah. I can't thank you enough for coming on the download tonight. Good to talk to you.
Yeah, good to see you again.
Good luck with the show.
Thanks very much.